With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches in the Premier Division. We'll be discussing Salford v Darlington, and we'll also be having a chat about Ilkeston. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's show. It's very journalist driven this week. Very shortly we're going to be speaking to Mark Duffy all about Ilkeston's player departures this past week. And later on we're going to be speaking to Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily to hear about his views on fixtures this weekend. And we've got James Hayes, of course, from the NPL Facebook group. But before all of that, well, there was a big match over the weekend. Darlington against Salford at Moor Lane. And joining me now to discuss this and what it all means for Darlington, it's the welcome return of the Deputy Sports Editor at the Northern Echo. It's the return of Craig Stoddart. Hello, Craig. How are you?
All right, Ben. That's a bad minute. Thank you. All right.
So, Moor Lane on Saturday. I've watched the highlights back. It's quite an afternoon's worth of football, I'm going to say, and drama.
Yeah, it was incredible. Particularly the second half. I mean, Scotland said, oh, 4-3. You don't get many dull 4-3 matches. But the way it unfolded, particularly down 3-1 down, as you know, 3-1 down, and also 2-0 down. 2-0 down at half time, then 3-1 with around, 20 minutes, half an hour to play. And then got these 3-8 goals, particularly what the very last goal from Nathan Cartman to win 4-3, turned it around entirely. So clearly, down full of belief now and momentum, and looking at the top spot now, occupied by Blythe.
They're now looking up at the table, looking up to Blythe Spartans. The gap is 11 points, but Darlington have 4 games in hand. It is now in Darlington's hands in a way. It's easier said than done, admittedly. But coming back in such a fashion on Saturday and the run of form that they've been on of late, that dressing room's got to be proper galvanised now, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They've definitely got the belief it is doable. But It is against them, because we've got to play twice a week for the rest of the season now. There's no respite. It's Saturday, Tuesday, apart from Easter, when it's Saturday and Monday instead. So every 10 games, and so they're under this relentless pressure. They've got to keep winning, because, you see, Blythe so far ahead. They could catch Blythe, but I just worry about the toll it might take. Not so much playing 2 games a week physically, the toll that would have, but more in case of injuries. A player can get a small injury, might be out for 2 weeks. He might miss 4 or 5 matches, simply because they've got so many games in a short space of time. So we'll see how the cope first might prove just a little bit beyond them, but we'll see how Blythe get on. You know, they have to have a real bad patch there, you have to stumble. So we'll see how they manage. As you say, Darlington have got in now, really almost picked itself to a degree. It's the same 13, 14 players Martin Gray is relying on. And so it's working well. It's worked well for the last 8 or 9 matches.
I do get the impression, though, about Darlington is that they've got a decent squad behind that, though. There is quality there.
Yeah, well, if you look on the bench, Graham Armstrong, he scored something like 25 goals last season. And then he had a bad injury. He suffered a bad injury in the very last minute of the playoff final last season. And ultimately, that is cost his place this season, because he wasn't quite fit at the start of this season. Martin Gray brought in Lee Gaskell from Ramsbottom, and now he's definitely a first choice. So Ian Armstrong can't get in the team, even though he got 25 goals last season. So he's on the bench.
And there's Hardy now. And there's Hardy as well.
Yeah, that's right. Lee Hardy's come in from Buxton. Obviously, he only played the one game so far. So, but the league top goal scorer, he clearly got something to offer. So, yeah, from a striker point of view, real talent there, real quality. So it's looking good from that point of view.
Now, just a general comment now about North East football generally, because at the start of the season, because of TV documentaries and personalities involved, all eyes were really on Salford City, and actually Blythe Spartans were tipped a bit by people around the table at the MPL show at the start of the season, and Darlington as well. Darlington have really performed very well this season, considering as well that they are a promoted side, and people forget that.
Yeah, people forget that, but at the same time, Martin Gray, he's very much always looked towards finishing first. He's not interested in playoffs, really. Clearly, if you end up in the playoffs, you've got to get involved. But he always aims to, he's always very ambitious. He's got to aim for the top, he's got to aim first. That's always, he doesn't hide from that. It's always what he wants. And if we don't, we're promoted this season, end up in a division above, I'm pretty sure he'd say something similar. He might have to be a bit more realistic, but we'll see. That's a long way off, yeah.
Trust me on the National North, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be this season.
Yeah.
But just a quick mention then for this weekend's match. It's Sutton Coldfield Town away, another promoted side. And actually, Sutton Coldfield Town, there's easier places to go to. Darlington fully fit going into this and not much to worry about injury-wise and fitness-wise?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's no problems. But they have played Sutton Coldfield Town away once already this season. That was in the trophy and lost,
yes,
on the app. So that's a bit of a concern, because Darlington didn't play too well down there. It didn't really import themselves on the game. But since that day, things have changed around. Martin Gray's thinking of the team a bit, and they're looking much stronger now. So it'll be interesting to see the difference. We'll be able to compare the two performances with each other come 5 o'clock on Saturday, and we'll see how Down have performed. But no injuries though, decent form. Yeah, should be an away win, but we'll see.
Oh, I wasn't going to get you to do a prediction just in case, but you've jumped in with both feet there, Craig. So for match reports, for match previews, all about Darlington, where can people go?
Well, North Mecca website will do you. You'll see everything on there. You shouldn't miss too much.
And your match preview, your match review from Salford's on there at the moment as well. And yes, and don't forget as well to follow Craig on Twitter, which is at...
It's C-Stoddart Echo. There you go.
There we go. Craig Stoddart, Deputy Sports Editor at the Northern Echo. Thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. And are you off to Sutton Coldfield this weekend?
Yeah, I'm down there. I'll be there Saturday. Hoping for a better result.
Well, you have a lovely time, Craig, and all the best this weekend.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
So very shortly, we'll be having a fixture preview with Mac Ruthers from the Non-League Daily, and we'll be reviewing last week's matches in the league from the MPL Facebook group's very own James Hayes, of course. But before that, one other piece of news this past week. The goings-on at Ilkeston, very, very curious. Some players... some comings and goings, that kind of thing. And to discuss this more in depth now, we're joined by the welcome return from East Midlands sports journalist. It's Mark Duffy. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much. So, Ilkeston, just yes, a broad brushed, what's been going on this past week?
Well, I mean, what hasn't been going on? It's probably more the question. I mean, they released 8 players from their contracts last week. 2 of them actually went to clubs at higher levels, which... they wouldn't stand in the way of those players anyway. Has to be said, the deals were done there, but 6 others were released as well from the contract. With the official line being that it's a bit of a streamlining move, really. I mean, Ilkeston are currently sat in mid-table, unlikely probably to go up nor down. I mean, that's not being pessimistic or optimistic. It's I think it's fair to say that's probably the case. It was seen that just perhaps these guys probably would have been released in the summer anyway, even though a lot of them were first team regulars, or certainly 3 or 4 were first team regulars. And it was felt that perhaps letting them go now and letting a few of the younger boys, and I use the term younger at Ilkeston loosely because they've already got a very young team, as many people know, even younger lads to come in and stake a claim and also get some key experience, really, that would... make them more attractive to the scouts that are frequently watching as well, because I think it's a big thing that they haven't played a great deal of first team football, some of them. So whether you look at it as a sort of shrewd financial move, it's wiped a fair bit off their wage bill. Would they want to spend a lot of money on players that at this stage of the season wouldn't keep them up or take them up? Who knows? Some of the fans taking a bit of convincing over it, clearly. But that was the main thing. It took everybody a bit by surprise, but... you know, the reasons are out there for it. So,
well, we've been discussing for a number of weeks now about what that magic total is to avoid relegation, and well, Ilkeston have said it's 42. Clearly, but joking aside, this season it's been a bit since the end of last season with the playoffs and what happened with Kevin Wilson and coming that close. I listened to the non-league show interview from Sunday, and Swampy asked the question, are Ilkeston now the Crewe Alexander of non-league? Where do you sit on the business model that the club's got at the moment with the academy, and is it now just a kind of getting players and then trying to send them on the way, or is there a bit of ambition at the club as well to go further up the pyramid?
I think it is both of those. I think a lot of the fans are sort of questioning that at times. You know, the question is it a football club with an academy, or is it an academy with a football club? And that's, I think,
that's a good question. Yes,
fans tend to be not too sure of the answers at the moment. Clearly, look at the players they've churned out, have gone on to do very well, and you see that it is a successful model so far. And you know, in terms of the first team, they're obviously. They have got very young sides out, and sometimes in a big boys league like the NPL, you know, it could be tough out there for them. But at times they've also held their own very well. So this season was, you know, to be where they are this season isn't bad really, because they had a lot of upheaval last year. Obviously, then Gavin Strachan came in, and then he left I think it was October. So there's a lot of changes happening again then. So that, you know, so there's been a lot of, it's not become very, not been particularly stable. And I think it was never particularly going to be the case that they expected to go up this year or whatever. And for a while, they've been challenging for the playoff places. But now things have fallen away a bit. They're perhaps doing everything with a big eye on next year and launching a more sustained challenge with whatever age side it turns out to be. They're certainly not going to write off bringing more experience in if they can. You know, they train full time, so finding semi-pro players that can train full-time is obviously hard, or even train during the day if they're not training every day, if you know what I mean. So you know, you're trying to find that mix is hard. But no, I mean, it's I'm sure they'd like to be the Crewe Alexander of non-league football, and there's no reason to suggest they won't be. But, and it does take time, and certainly the talent they've got there and they've brought through suggests that, and many more like that, and it could be a great model to pursue. But it is something that does take time,
and it is taking time with regards to kind of piecing together where Ilkeston fit into all this, because other football clubs I can think of, no disrespect to these clubs that I'm about to reel off, but Buxton, Matlock and Hales Owen, they're kind of in the same predicament, but then they don't have an academy where they could just offload players at this point in the season and say, right, we're going to focus on next year. Is it something that the fans are just going to have to come to terms with, that's a possibility at Ilkeston thanks to the academy setup?
Yeah, and they have done since the club reformed. You know, and I think, but this season perhaps more so. I mean, when Kevin was in charge last year, they had a very young side. Players like Shea Adams and Ash Hunter went on to do great things and get into the Football League. But they also had some experience in there, like Rob Duffy, Joe Maguire, James Reid, who all since went to Nuneaton with Kevin, just to help sort of bring the average age up a bit more and give that key bits experience almost pretty much in the spine of the team as well. This year it's been a very, very young side, and as I say, at times they've done very well. No, nobody's really sure what to make of this season. I think, I say, a lot of fans are sort of just, you know, biding the time with it, see how it goes, you know, we'll give it next year, see how next year goes. But obviously fans want to see progress, and if they're not getting promotion in the next couple of years, then I think fans will start to probably lose a bit of faith in the ethos, because it's great having all these young players come through and push them on. Fantastic and good for the club's profile, but clearly fans go to watch first team football every week, and they don't want to be seeing a team who's going to be happily sat in mid-table every year. But the club know that, and they're aware of that. I'm almost certain, and they want it to go hand in hand with the first team success as well. But obviously, that achieving that is very, very difficult.
Well, it's a very interesting. I don't want to say the word experiment, because some clubs have been here before, but it's very interesting developments at Ilkeston, and we'll keep an eye on it in the coming weeks and certainly next season as well. But this weekend, Salford City are coming visiting. This one has suddenly got a really important flavour to this match on Saturday. Are you looking forward to it?
I am actually. Yeah, they're actually playing them to consecutive Saturdays. They've got them away at Salford next Saturday because of all the rearrangements. It's the quirks of the fixture list. Means I've got to play them twice. I'm looking forward to it. I've not seen Salford yet this season. Not live, as in front of me. I've seen them live on television, of course, as many of us have. But no, you know, their away record's fantastic. I think they've won 11 games this season away from home, and so they're going to be up for it. Ilkeston struggling for wind at the moment, so you know Salford are going to fancy it. But you know, this is a young and fearless team. They're ready to meet them, and I think you know they're all trying to stake a claim for regular spots in the Ilkeston first team, and coming up against sides like Salford is something I'm sure they'll relish. So yeah, I'm sure they'll be more than ready for them.
And if people can't make this match, where's the best place to keep abreast of all the developments going on at Ilkeston and this match as well on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'll be doing updates from the game as always. So I'm at Duffers Sport. Ilkeston Advertiser website will have match reports as well from the game afterwards. And obviously the Ilkeston Club Twitter as well will be in full swing. So, yeah, various places. And I'm sure Salford have got their various media outlets too. So plenty of places, I'm sure.
We should say the Salford outlets are good too. Otherwise, you know, Laura Flint wouldn't let it live if I didn't mention a name when it comes to social media. But anyway, Mark Duffy from the East Midlands area, the sports journalist from the East Midlands area, thank you so much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. And any more developments, we'll be sure to have you back on with regards to Ilkeston and what's going on at the club at the close of the season and going into next season as well.
No problem. Thanks.
So it's now time for a review of last weekend's matches in the league, as well as a bit of a Dudeson Cup roundup. And we speak to one person, and one person only for this part of the show. It's James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad. It's now time for a look back at last weekend's results. And really, there's only one place to start, and that's the epic encounter between Salford City and Darlington. It finished Salford City 3, Darlington 4. It had everything, this match. It was, what I watched the highlights, it was superb.
Yeah, fantastic. What a comeback from Darlington for that one as well. I don't think anyone saw Salford throwing that away with 30 minutes left on the clock. So Darlington, again, proving the point to say they are challenging for the title. Still, Blythe have now got to perform week in and week out to stop Darlington coming back in there.
Absolutely, because Darlington, although they are third, 11 points off the league leaders, they have 4 games in hand. So if they win all them, easier said than done, admittedly, they're 1 point clear of Blythe. So it's all to play for up at the top. Speaking of Blythe, a good win for them on Saturday, beating Ramet by 5-0. Going to form, though, that one, really. Going to league position in that one, really. Top v bottom.
Yeah, I think no one disrespects it, but again, it's very rare to see a player score 5 goals in that match. Well done to Wilson Neeshaw in that one there. Blythe, again, going to come back to the comparison between Blythe and Darlington quickly. Again, both teams have played each other twice, so it's going to be coming down towards now what they can do against comparative teams they've got to both play. Both teams with similar records on the form table as well, so coming forward into it, Blythe might be seeming to have that little bit of an edge with the opposition they've got. But this time of the season, it's always interesting because this is when the bottom half of the table start to, let's say, panic and get the results at the wrong times, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. There's no easy games, but congratulations to Blythe Spartans on that one. And, you know, we said there's no easy games, and second place Workington, who are currently second place, they're now 8 points behind league leaders Blythe Spartans with no games in hand at all. They've played exactly the same number of games, 31. James made the point there, no easy games, especially when you play the bottom teams. And Whitby Town, they've had the bit between the teeth now for well over a month or so, and they beat Workington by 1-0.
Yeah, not only that, with Whitby as well, they're the first team out of that bottom four. Everyone keeps saying on the MPL show, the bottom four is that it is, and it's staying out for the season. They're the first team that have gotten out of it now. So we'll come back to them in a second, but Workington, that's points dropped, in my opinion, yeah. There. The first game they've lost in 6. I'm not saying it's the end of the season at all, don't get me wrong, but we've got Darlington and Salford, we've got games in hand against them. It's going to be very, very tough for them now. It's a big opportunity lost, and that's just opened the door massively for Salford, Darlington, I'm going to throw Stourbridge in there as well to potentially even not work into the playoffs. But obviously, the fate's still in their own hand, and the games they've got left against more mid-table sides.
Now, we mentioned Salford. Salford slipped back a bit. Obviously, they've had a very bitty few games, Salford City. They're currently 12 points now off league leaders Blyth Spartans. They do have a game in hand, admittedly, but they need to string the results together. Very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Matt Carruthers, by the way, for a fixture preview for this weekend's matches. But let's go to the team in fifth position now. That's Barwell. Barwell had a very good result on Saturday, beating Hyde United by 2-0. And the concerns at Hyde United continue. Barwell, currently in that final playoff position, they played a few games more than everyone else around them, but if they keep winning, then they're doing the job.
Yeah, 6 wins out of 6. You can't fault them at this moment in time. Barwell doing, again, a lot of people write Barwell off, and unrightly so, in my opinion. I'll admit, every now and again, I have...
Stop writing them off, James. Stop writing them off.
Well, I'll try to. They've still got to go to Ashton twice and they'll wait to Nantwich. But... can we start going dark horses this time? I don't think we can we, really?
No, I think all the horses are out of the stable and they're now parading themselves around the market. I think that's the right term. So Barwell are there. We'll come back to the relegation issue in a second or two. Stourbridge are currently in sixth position, 1 point from the playoffs. They have 3 games in hand over Barwell, though. We'll mention the league result now, and then we'll mention the FA Trophy. But a good result on Saturday, beating Colwyn Bay by 2-0. Commiserations to Stourbridge are getting knocked out of the FA Trophy. That match could have gone either way against Nantwich. But it's time for an old cliche, James. They can concentrate on the league now, can't they?
They can do so indeed, and they've got the games in hand. However, as 2 weeks ago, as we said on the extra, the manager had the mindset for a run to Wembley. Now they've been knocked out. This might be detrimental to the players. You might be able to concentrate on the link, but it might be a hard thing to concentrate on now, mm-hmm. especially with the games they've got in, to play. They've got Darlington in 2 weeks' time. They've got Sutton Coldfield away. That's not necessarily an easy place to go to at this moment. Matlock, again, they can pick up results. So it depends how they would come out of the Nantwich result there. I mean, saying that, good result against Colwyn Bay. Obviously, Colwyn at this moment in time were on form.
They were, weren't they? And they had that potential to mirror what Whitby have done and what Grantham did a few months ago, and string the results together. So I really do think that's a cracking result, that, for Stourbridge. You mentioned Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town, they beat Hills Owen Town by 3-0 on Saturday, and obviously then followed it up midweek with a win against Stourbridge in the FA Trophy. Just to say, next week, we're going to have, before we get down to league matters, we're going to be having a bit of an FA Trophy preview for that Dover match, because that's a big game now for Nantwich. Yeah. They're so close to the playoffs, though. I know the manager said they're going to try and juggle both, but it's going to be tricky now, isn't it?
It is, especially with Nantwich's situation. Games they've got left to play. They've got 5 games against members of the top 5 at this moment in time. And then they've got home games against Ashton, Rushall. Nothing against the bottom end of the table. So I don't think, if you have mid-table teams to play more than the top end, they could have been able to juggle both. But looking at the games in hand they've got to play, the league record at the moment, which is obviously they've done well in the FA Trophy, but form-wise, they've lost 3 out of the last 6 and drawn the other 2 of them as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very, very tough ask. I don't think Nantwich will look at the playoffs this year now, personally.
Right.
Because they've now got the sights on the Wembley Way. And then everyone already knows, Stourbridge have knocked Dover out of the FA Cup. So it's a very, very achievable thing to do.
Very achievable. Especially with the way, I think Dover are doing quite well in the National League as well. So it's very achievable for Nantwich, that one. Just to say, Ashton United, they played Rushall Olympic. We said Rushall, they are a dark horse. They have the potential to string the results together, and they're a few points back, 6 points back off the playoff positions, but they do have 2 games in hand over Barwell. So it's it's not impossible for Rush Olympic. And they did well on Saturday. They beat Ashton United by 3-2. However, though, midweek, Skelmersdale 4, Rush Olympic 1. Is that Rush all done now, do you think?
You've got to imagine. So you can't be losing to top bottom ends. I know we're saying it can be tough games at the moment. If you were looking for the playoffs, the 6 points behind, games in hand, the games against them at this moment, it's going to be a tough ask. Saying that, though, going to Ashton United is not a mean feat in itself anyway. Looking at Ashton's games they've got left to play, their home season's almost ended. They're going to be spending the next couple of weeks on the road. So you could look, that's going to be their ask to see if they can repeat what they did last season. Because let's not forget, Ashton United were outside the playoffs at this time last year too.
Yes, absolutely. They're currently 3 points from the playoff positions. They have 4 games in hand over Barwell, 3 games in hand over Nantwich Town, and a game in hand over Stourbridge. So certainly not to be ruled out at this moment. So down the bottom end of the table, we mentioned the Colwyn Bay defeat to Stourbridge. We mentioned the Whitby win against Workington. Good result that for Whitby. What about Marine? Now, Marine on Saturday, they won. They beat Matlock Town by 2-1. A good result that for Marine. That puts them 2 points now behind Michelover Sports, and they have 3 games in hand. Quite a remarkable relegation battle shaping up there. Michelover Sports hosted Sutton Coldfield Town on Saturday and got beat by 1-0. So it's shaping up now to be in a battle between Marine and Michelover. However, can you rule out Hyde United and Grantham? Now, Grantham travelled to Buxton, got beat by 3-0. Hyde travelled to Barwell and got beat by 2-0. Where do you see it at the moment, James?
I can't see it just between Marine and Michelover. You've got Whitby Town still to consider. Okay, Whitby have got games in hand and the form is massively improving. But you look at all 5 teams against each other, the defences aren't necessarily bad between them all. It's just they're not able to score goals. You look at Marine, they've got the worst attack, they've got the worst scoring record overall at this moment in time. Obviously, you look at the likes of Colwyn, Stamford and Ramy, yeah, they're losing week in, week out, but they are scoring goals. I mean, I'm just going back to Stamford in a second. Stamford's home form's actually starting to appear now.
Well, yes.
So you can't rule them out just at this moment in time. I know it's mad to say, and
no, it's not mad to say. I mean, Stamford 1, Frickley 0. I was going to go to that score next. That's a brilliant result, that, for Stamford. I mean, we were saying Frickley Athletic last week was 7 points on the playoff positions. They're now 10 points on the playoff positions, James. Quite a result, that, for Stamford. It's going to be a very interesting couple of months. I know we're saying that, but it's looking increasingly likely now that it's going to be interesting. Isn't it, James?
Yeah. I think Grantham's bottom time is starting to run out. And yeah, obviously, there are 11 points from safety at this moment in time. With Ramsbottom, I think it is a bit too late now for him to come and get that resurgence.
Everyone down there needs to win now. And especially Michelover with the games played tally as well. James, are you sitting comfortably?
Go on.
It's now time for the Integro Dudeson League Cup third round roundup. And my word, folks, last week's roundup, we mentioned the two sides from Division 1 South who performed miracles and got through to the quarterfinals. It's happened again, folks, from Division 1 North. Let's focus on this one here. Ossett Town 3, Darlington 1. Admittedly, Darlington might have their eyes on other matters, but Darlington do have a very strong squad this year. So that's a really good result, that, for Ossett Town, in front of 119 supporters there. A good midweek attendance, that one. Farsley Celtic against Scarborough Athletic. That's an all Division 1 North affair. It finished 1-1. Scarborough Athletic won 5-4 on penalties, so Scarborough go through. And commiserations to Trafford. They travelled to Colwyn Bay. Congratulations to Colwyn Bay. It finished 1-1. Trafford got the equaliser on the 90th minute through Andrew Langford. Colwyn Bay won 5-4 on penalties, however. And just to say, the Ilkeston versus Daventry Town match, which we mentioned last week, that was postponed due to weather. But the draw's been made, James, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We'll go to the draw as well. Just going to point on them 2 penalty shootouts as well. They weren't necessarily just both from finish 5-4. Trafford only went out on the literally the last kick of the penalty shootout.
That's the worst way to go out, isn't it?
Yeah. And Scarborough won in the second round of the of sudden death takings as well, which again is not a way you want to go out on penalties either. If you're going to go out, you want to miss all three or have all three saved, let's be honest. But looking at the draw there as well, you've got some pretty cracking ties there.
Absolutely. And we're guaranteed, happily, I'm pleased to announce, we're guaranteed a Division 1 side in the semi-finals, because one of the ties has seen Scarborough Athletic of Division 1 North. They're hosting Carlton Town of Division 1 South. So that good luck to both sides in that one. We've also got Marine against Ossett Town of Division 1 North. Kidsgrove Athletic, they're awaiting either Ilkeston or Daventry Town. And Nantwich Town or Bamber Bridge will host Colwyn Bay. And all their matches will take place at some point in March, we hope. But Dudson's shaping up now to be cracking, really. We're going to have some good ties in the quarterfinals. And guaranteed, looking at it, looks like we're going to be guaranteed some good semi-finals as well.
Yeah. Obviously, the main focus there is on Scarborough v Carlton. Both teams that obviously have started to drop away. Carlton have started to drop away from the massive Division 1 South fight for the title and the playoffs at this moment in time. But Scarborough, these are expected to do very, absolutely fight for the title between, that's currently taking place between Warrington and New Norwich Victoria. Their season has just been dreadful. So a lot of their fans, I'm reading on the NPL page at the moment, are more interested in this competition because it's a chance of silverware. Banbridge, again, another team that are struggling this year in First Division North. So
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And we'll have more on that next week. Actually, no, we'll have more on that in the monthly show, I think, in a couple of weeks' time, I think. James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, also sponsored by EvoStick. How could people get in touch with you and complain and maybe have a bit of banter with other like-minded individuals from the Northern Premier League scene?
At facebook.com/groups/NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group. And don't forget, you've still got time to vote for your supporters' player of the year.
Boom, yes.
Information's on the NPL page, on the Twitter, and on the league website as of today as well. All the information's there. Any questions, please ask me. And my quote I put in there is 100% true. So please don't have a go at me because it is 100% correct.
Well, I'm going to leave that suspended there so you can all go and go, what does he mean? Because that encourages them then to go to the link, you see, and visit the news story and that kind of thing. So well dangled, James. James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and you have a lovely weekend. So, enough about the past, it's now time to focus on the future. And what a future we've got for you all, dear listener at home. And it starts right now, as most futures do, with Mark Carruthers, the editor of the Non-League Daily. Hello, Mark, how are you?
Hi there. It's not too promising a future if I'm starting it, is it? Let's be
honest. It is. So, this weekend's fixtures in the league. Oh, where should we start? Shall we start with Darlington? I was going to start with Darlington. Let's start with Blyth, actually. Let's start with the league leaders. This weekend, Blyth Spartans have a tricky trip away to Rushall Olympic. Now, Blyth Spartans, a cracking 5-0 win against Ramy this past week. Where do you stand at this moment in time now? Now you've had a month or so since we last spoke. Where do you stand now on Blyth's title credentials?
Yeah, I personally, I would still make Darlington favourites, slight favourites, admittedly. Stronger squad, games in hand that admittedly do need to be won. But Blyth for me, it's quite a nice story. Everyone thinks that Tom's went out and spent money from the cup run last season, but he really hasn't. And I know that for a fact, because I talk to Tom quite regularly. The money that they won from the cup was to from the cup run was to hold on to what they had more than bring players in. So he's still relying on players from the Northern League coming in and building on that. However, they have got themselves into a very good position. They have got Dan Maguire coming back from injury, which is a big boost because obviously he's been one of the top scorers in the league. And they just really need to keep doing what they're doing. And it'll be, I know everyone knows my connections to the club, and I'd really love to see them go up because I think out of the three title favourites that everyone talks about, you know, Salford, Darlington and Blyth, Blyth are the ones that haven't really put a lot of money in. They've built over 3 to 4 years now since Tom's been there. And I think it would just be a nice footballing story if they were to get up more than a one where we talk about money.
Now, for Rushall are currently ninth position, 6 points from the playoffs. There's a there's a few teams in front of them who play games less, but crucially, Russia Olympic do have two games in hand over Barwell, who are currently in that fifth position at the moment. We've had some correspondence in about this fixture. From a Russia perspective, David James, Blyth Spartans arrive at the Dales Lane Saturday. I'm expecting lots of green and white colours, plus the odd spuggy from Biker Grove reference. Oh, no. Oh, yes, the match won't be nil-nil, and he's sitting on the fence and suggesting that it will be nil-nil. John Haig, if Nipper's playing and he's fit, Blyth along with Wilson Neeshaw and Robbie Dale, I see a busy afternoon for the Rushall back four. Should be 100 Spartans there. Shame we can't take 300, but hey, Spartans. Oh. So there we go.
I do quite like the name Wilson Neeshaw. He's obviously come to the club from Darlington, but I think he sounds like an 80s soul singer. It's a lovely name.
It is a lovely name, isn't it? And speaking of Darlington, we should go to Darlington next. I know Workington are currently sitting in second, but Darlington do have a lot of games in hand now. They have four games in hand over both Blyth and Workington. They're 11 points back, though, from Blyth. So I agree they're just favourites, but only based upon potential points, I'm going to suggest. Yeah. And obviously squad, like you mentioned earlier. But anyway, they're travelling this weekend to Sutton Coldfield Town, and I'm fed up with saying this, and I'm fed up of everyone else saying it. Haven't Sutton Coldfield Town had a good season?
Well, they have.
Yeah, they have.
They've, I mean, one of my last games working at Blyth was at home to Sutton Coldfield Town, and they beat Blyth at Croft Park. And a very good side, play some good football at times, but know when they need to go along and play direct, which will help them. Playing on a 3G tends to be an acquired taste, shall we say. So I think it's a tough task for Darlington, but I can't see them not getting anything from down there, if I'm honest. Obviously, bringing in Liam Hardy recently, and I interviewed Phil Turnbull during the week, and he seemed confident that they would go on a great run between now and the end of the season. And for me, Phil is probably the best player in this league and could walk into any team in the division. And I think it'll be a tough task. Sutton Coldfield have got some very, very fine players, and you've got to give them credit for the way they've adjusted to this league. And I think next year they'll be an outside bet for the playoffs.
When it comes to Darlington, the last result against Salford and the way it was played and the way the team came back, that's going to have an effect on the mentality of that squad going into the next couple of months, isn't it?
Well, there's a great never say die spirit there. And it's a real cliche, I know, but there's a lot of experience in the squad right the way through. And that'll be vital between now and the end of the season. And I just look at the firepower that they've got, the likes of Cartman, and obviously Hardy's come in now. And, you know, it's such a strong front line. And there's so many options that Martin Gray has got that he's brought in this season. This is why I'd make them favourites. And I really think they could be your title winners, because I think they've just got so many options and they can adjust to play whoever the opposition are.
Now, let's mention Workington. Workington, is that it now with that defeat against Whitby for them? I mean, they're on the same number of games played as Blyth Spartans. The gap is 8 points. It might be a bit too much for them. However, this weekend they are hosting Stamford, and Stampy's been in touch to say a very long trip for Stamford for Workington. I'll take a draw now. Don't fancy 5 hours back on the coach after a heavy defeat. It's going to be a very tough afternoon, this, for Stamford, but Workington will be looking to bounce back here, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by the Workington story. If we, you know, focus on those first, it's Derek Townsley taking over in the summer, kind of a continuation of the previous manager's work. But I don't think they're out of the title race, not at all. I think they're still very much in it. I think they've got some very, very good players. And they're kind of a bit like, if you think like Tottenham in the Premier League, where nobody's talking about them in terms of the title race. It's all about three other sides, and I still think they're very much in it. Stamford is never an easy place to go. It's always a tough task. They're always in your face. They're quite direct, but I do think Wigan will win this quite comfortably.
Now, this weekend, you mentioned in your list of those three sides that you quite fancied could have the potential to win the league. And you mentioned Salford City. Now, obviously, Salford have had a bad, not bad isn't the right word, but they've had an iffy set of results of late, losing three of the last six and drawing one and only winning two of the last six. It's been a bit of a tricky period for Salford City. Do you still think that they've got it in them?
Yeah, absolutely. There's too much quality in that squad to not have it in them. And obviously an experienced management team as well. It's, for me, they are the outsiders in the title race now out of the four sides that were spoken about. But there's just too much quality there. The likes of Weber, I mean, he's been around the block and been around the block a few times. But he's more than capable of getting key goals. Last week will be a big blow to the... It's a psychological blow, and it's obviously put them further behind the top three. But make no mistake about it, they're still in the race. They really are. And it'll be... This weekend's game's vital. They have to get 3 points. It's simple as that. Because they need to lift themselves again after what happened last weekend. And again, I expect them to do that.
Now, they're travelling to Ilkeston, and we spoke to Mark Duffy earlier about all the issues at Ilkeston at the moment with streamlining of the squad. I jokingly said to Mark on the interview, we've been discussing what the safety mark is for relegation this season, and Ilkeston have answered it 42. Ilkeston, are they going to put up much of a fight in this one?
I think they always will. The talk is that they're going to be bringing through more of the youth team that did so well in the FA Youth Cup. And I know a few lads from Newcastle who went down there for the Youth Cup tie against Newcastle, and you know, these are playing against kind of Premier League youngsters here in the Cup very, very well. So admittedly, it's a different beast when you play in the Evo State League. It can't be more physical. But, you know, there's obviously quality there. There always has been. This is me trying to put a positive slant on
it, by the way.
but it's a big ask for these kids to step up and do that pretty much straight away. And it's going to be some test against Salford for them. And it's going to be a sink or swim, I think, and hopefully for Ilkeston's sake, I hope they've got their armbands with them.
Now then, currently in fifth position, we've got Barwell. Now, Barwell have played a few games more than everyone else. They're a point ahead of Stourbridge, who are currently in sixth, but they played three games more than Stourbridge. This weekend, Barwell are travelling to Colwyn Bay. Colwyn Bay, there was a glimmer there, wasn't there? A glimmer of, yes, we can do this. Then they got beat by Stourbridge, which I suppose isn't that... Actually, that's surprising, really. Stourbridge are on, you know, they're a very, very good side. What do you think for this one?
I think there'll be a draw, if I'm honest. Two sides that are quite similar, but Barwell, what a season they're having. It's been a fine season, hasn't it? And they're a good side. Again, they can be direct when they need to be. But I do fancy a draw here. I can't see anything else other than a draw.
We mentioned Stourbridge there. Stourbridge currently in sixth position. Out of all the playoff candidates at the moment, I think they're in the kind of Darlington position where they've got games in hand and they've got a very good side. So you've got to fancy them to cement their playoff credentials in the coming month. It all starts this weekend against Mickleover Sports. And Richard Clark's been in touch to say... another in a succession of should win banana skins on home turf need to put Tuesday night's trophy defeat behind us and continue the good league form. Oh, do I do cliche? I'm going to go with cliche. It could be a blessing that they got knocked out of the trophy, Mark. What do you think?
It could be. It's a focus on the league, isn't it? And I think that Stourbridge, for me, one of those sides on the day that can beat anyone in this league, whether it's Blythe or whether it's Ramsbottom, they can beat anyone. They've got some brilliant strikers. That's one thing I love watching Stourbridge for, is the hard work and front men that they've got. And I fully expect them to win on Saturday. And to be honest, I think they'll win quite comfortably on Saturday.
And for Mickleover Sports, it's getting to the stage now where for a couple of weeks it was looking like, oh, Mickleover will be fine, but then they've dropped points against Matlock and Sutton Coldfield, and now they're 2 points ahead of Marine and only 2 points clear of that relegation zone, and Marine have three games in hand. All of a sudden it's now a must win for Mickleover, these matches now, I think.
Well, I think every game is now for McGlover. But what we shouldn't forget, it's the first season at this level for a few years, and they're still getting used to it. I guess it's not an easy league to settle into, particularly if you come up from further down the leagues. And they will get there. It's a good setup at McGlover. It's not the biggest club, but they've got a great setup and a good board that try and run the club the right way. And I do worry for them, if I'm honest, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think Marine will make the most of the games in hand. There's too much quality at Marine for them to go down. And I do fear for Michelover. But again, we need to remember where they've come from.
And you mentioned Marine there. Marine, they're travelling to Matlock Town this weekend. And Michael J. Holland's been in touch to say, after not winning since November, Marine scored two last-minute goals to beat Matlock last Saturday at Marine, then followed it up with a very good cup win with another last-minute winner against Workington. Confident we can get another positive result at Matlock. They have got the old Whitby bit between the teeth now, haven't they?
or the old Marine bit between the teeth from last season. Yeah, it's momentum, isn't it, that they're building there, and that's going to be key between now and the end of the season. It breeds confidence. Every win and every a last minute win is probably the best thing to do. That, isn't it? It's such a special thing when it happens. And Marine, for me, I think the experience of last year and the fact that they have got these games in hand, I think they'll be all right. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get a result on Saturday.
Now, one team that got mentioned at the MPL show a few weeks ago was Hyde, and somebody round the table, who I was quite surprised said, I'm worried for Hyde. Now, it's going to take quite a lot for some clubs. Is it going to take a lot? It's probably not, is it? Because they're only 5 points clear now of the relegation zone, Hyde. So they're going to need to start winning soon. They haven't won for a while now. And this weekend, Hyde are taking on Nantwich Town. There's easier sides to take on at this moment. Johnny Crowther, great commentary from Berkey and Luke is guaranteed as Hyde host the mighty Nantwich Town. They even invited me on. Well, good luck on 26-0, Johnny. And George Rothwell, Hyde versus Nantwich. Expect another loss. Oh no.
Nope.
So for Nantwich, every game now, if they're going to make the playoffs, they need to win every game because of the number of games they've played. They're currently 3 points from the playoff positions, but there's Stourbridge there and there's Ashton, who played three games less than Nantwich Town, also in the mix. Hyde United need to win though as well, for different reasons.
They do, yeah, for very different reasons. And the thing I've learnt in the Evo Stick League is to just expect the unexpected. And Hyde, I thought coming down would do all right this season. You know, they had a horrible year last year. But they've kind of tried to rebuild and lose a bit of the stigma that they had from last year. But that hasn't really happened. Obviously, losing Scott Spencer isn't a... Well, it was a big blow, wasn't it? He was flying in terms of goals for them. But... yeah, I understand why people would be worried about Hyde, because they could easily get dragged into this. As for Nantwich, I mean, what a season they're having. Super. In the FA Trophy. So pleased for everyone at the club. It's a lovely club to go and visit. And Phil Parkinson, I saw a really nice quote today from the local paper down there saying that he's just put a bit of soul back into the club, which is it's great to see someone who understands the club, someone who knows the area and knows the key figures around there, and I'm over the moon that it's going the way it is, and fully expect them to get another win on Saturday against Hyde. And I think it could be a comfortable win, because Nantwich will be bouncing after Tuesday night.
Now, we mentioned Hyde being down that neck of the woods. Grantham Town and Whitby Town. Whitby Town's transformation over recent weeks has been sensational. Grantham Town, they had a mini spurt a while ago, but they've slowly started to make their way down the table. The two teams play each other this weekend, Grantham Town against Whitby Town. Andrew Snaith, 2 6-pointers in 2 days, so a 48-hour 12-pointer at Grantham, then Hyde. I don't know if that works, Andrew, as an email. But anyway, 4 points would be nice. Whitby have been sensational since the managerial change a while ago, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said last time I was on here, Chris Hardy did a great job at Gisborough in the Northern League. And it's a funny area, because there's not a great amount of clubs around there. So it's a bit of a limited pool of resources in terms of bringing players in. But I always felt confident that he would go in there and do a good job at Whitby. You know, it's a great club. It's a historical club with plenty of support, and I do think they'll get out of it. I mean, let's be honest, they looked dead and buried a couple of months ago, but since he's gone in, he's revitalised it and hasn't made a great amount of signings either. He's working with the same squad that his predecessor left, barring one or two signings, but I fully expect them to get out of there. Grantham, I do worry for them the same way I do about Hyde. It's a club that I think have kind of flirted with relegation over the last couple of years, and they were doing so
well a couple of months ago, yeah, weren't they? They said they burst out the blocks in a way and got themselves up to mid table, and then the form's just dipped completely, hasn't it?
But in my time working in the NPL, it's always been that way with Grantham, where they have a great run, but then they just tail off, and it's a strange one. But I do fear for them this year. I think they could easily get dragged in, and they could go. But it's never an easy place to go with that running track when you know your supporters are miles away from the players, and it all seems a few windy as well. Maybe that's just when I'm there. I don't know, but it's a tough place to go. But I do think they could easily get dragged in, and I really fancy Whitby to win this on Saturday.
Now, I'm going to cover off the matches of mid-table significance now. And let's start with this one. Halesow in town against Buxton. Halesow in for a long time have been borderline playoffs, but then they did play a lot more games than everyone else. And now the true reflection of where they are in the league is starting to appeal, and it is mid-table. And then there's Buxton. And at this point, it's now time for Joyce's Roulette, where I read one of his epic Facebook messages to see if I can get through the whole thing without getting in trouble with any league club or the league in general. Here we go. Can I yet see a victory on a Saturday for the Bucks in the league? Not seen us win yet on a Saturday except cups at Halesow Inn. Well, we was very poor down there last season, lost 3-1, and panel, how many teams in that top half would get on with losing four main players? The keeper Barnes, the defender Buckler, the midfielder Burrell, and forward Hardy now, in the space of just 6 weeks. Now, we got to finish the season as high as possible, with no replacements coming in, and with an under-19s in goal. So, what a great start it was last Saturday, beating Grantham 3-0. Now hoping we do the same to the Yelts, who I hear in just as much of a state as Buxton. I won't go that far. Looking at their message board anyway. And good luck to the rest of the other teams, except Matlock. Whoops. Oh. So, there we go for Joycey there. And voice of reason, Rob Lloyd. We're on the crest of a slump. Buxton, oh no, it's not gone well. Buxton have lost loads of players. Who knows what could happen as we're using one of those lovely Evo stick for... Oh, don't start encouraging him, Rob, with the footballs. Right, so, where was I after all that ramble? Halesow in town against Buxton.
It just sounds like two clubs trying to out-depress each other, doesn't it, really?
Or two pieces of correspondence doing it. I don't know. I don't know which.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. But I think Buxton, let's not kid ourselves here, losing Hardy's a big blow, a really big blow. He could easily follow the example of Sean Tootin, who's went up the leagues to Halifax and is now at... now with Barnsley. He's that good for me, Hardy. He's every bit as good as Sean Tootin. So it's a big loss for Buxton. How they recover from it, I don't know, if I'm honest. It sounds as if they're not going to bring anyone in between now and the end of the season, if we ought to believe the correspondence there. Halesow is, again, I keep saying this, but it is a tough place to go. The pitch tends to be a bit boggy and passionate support. It's never easy. And I think that'll be a draw, but it's going to be an interesting game between two sides that really haven't got a lot to play for.
And do I say speaking of which? No, I'm not committing to that. Frickley Athletic against Skelmersdale. That's my segue. Smooth segue there. Frickley Athletic, 10 points from the playoffs.
Yep. probably a bit too much, yes, if I'm honest. But again, another club having a good season. They were tipped by some to get kind of sucked into that relegation battle this season, but they haven't. They've stayed clear and seem to be comfortably mid-table, I think we'll call it. But again, I think the playoffs is just a little bit too much of a push for them.
And lastly, but not leastly, on Saturday, we've got this one here. It's 8th-placed Ashton United. They're travelling up the M66 to take on Ramsbottom United, who are still bottom of the table. And it's looking a bit, with the number of games left in the season, it is now looking a bit bleak for Rammy, I'm going to suggest.
It is, but you can't feel anything but sympathy for them after what's happened there, you know, with the floods and what have you. And it's been great to see NPL clubs rallying around with Ramsbottom and trying to show a bit of solidarity and, you know, trying to get the crowds up and what have you. And it's heartbreaking, if I'm honest, because I do enjoy going to Ramsbottom, despite the fact that last time I was there, I got absolutely soaked because it was raining, well, predictably. I just can't see any other way. I mean, the last 2 years, they've been through a lot, haven't they, before the floods. I mean, losing the management team and losing most of their squad, it's so sad to see. But they'll be back if they do go, which I do think they will. They will be back. But this weekend, I can't see anything but an Ashton win. And Ashton, again, they're probably just too far away from the playoffs for me. I know they're not that far behind, but I look at the clubs in there and the clubs ahead of them, and I just think they've got a little bit more than Ashton have.
Yeah, they do have they actually are one of the few teams in the league who have a game in hand over Stourbridge, and they're only 2 points behind them. So it's not beyond the realms, but it's going to be very, very interesting over the next coming months to see how that final playoff spot all shakes up in the results that we get in the league. Just to mention, on Monday, Hyde United take on Whitby, and that was mentioned earlier by Andrew Snaith. Could be a proper 6-pointer, that one. And Ilkeston are hosting Stamford on Monday. And on Tuesday night, we've got Blyth Spartans against Frickley, Buxton against Rushall, Darlington against Ashton United, which has the potential to be quite an interesting match. Marine against Salford City, Matlock against Nantwich Town, Ramey against Skem, and Sutton Coldfield Town against Stourbridge. And yes, all those matches taking place at your various Northern Premier League grounds. But as always, disclaimer, the weather might take a turn for the worst. As I look outside my Mancunian window at this moment, it's a beautiful, clear sky evening. We're recording this on Thursday, so I don't know what that means because I've not got any weather background, but I'm assuming that's nice. But who knows? But anyway, check Twitter or your club's Facebook group or your club's website before setting off on Saturday or midweek next week. Matt Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on in the non-league world?
That will be at nonleaguedaily.com, covering from the National League all the way down to Step 7, I think we go down to, if not more. But yeah, try and keep the latest news on there and keep things ticking over on Twitter as well.
And the website address, one more time?
It's www.nonleaguedaily.com.
Matt Carruthers, editor at Non-League Daily, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Thank you.
And now for your correspondence. Liam Curry's been in touch to say Brighouse are away for us. Going to be a tough one considering their 8-0 win over Drawsden on Monday night. Although we are on a good run too and hoping to build upon Saturday's 6-1 win over Kendal and Monday's 4-0 win away to Harrogate. I personally would be pleased with a draw for Brighouse, especially after losing 3-1 at home to them in October. And Liam Curry, of course, is a Spennymoor fan. Also in Division 1 North, Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say this Saturday, Warrington make the long journey to Drawsden. With plenty of our fans going on the train and tram early with beers involved, would all be topped off with a Warrington win. And Ryan James Bedard, Drawsden versus Warrington, hitting Manchester early for a Wires 3 points. Jonathan Wood, from a Scarborough perspective, the last 4 games I've seen, we've let in 3 goals. The last 4 games I've missed, we've only let in 1. Luckily for us at Albion, I'm going. Oh dear. Phil Harrison, Vicks are away at Inform Mosley, so everything crossed for 3 points and keeping the pressure on in the title chase. Staying with Division 1 North, Neil Spofforth has been in touch today. Ossett Town away to Burscough. A new manager in place with a couple of additions by the looks of it, so who knows? Nick Harling, Clitheroe are at home to Glossop North End. With things so tight in Division 1 North, a win is essential to keep our playoff hopes on track. Up the Blues. While we've had one piece of correspondence in from Division 1 South, and that's from Paul Griffiths, Kidsgrove v Rugby. Since we beat the mighty Stafford Rangers, we haven't won a game. I predict, if it's on, plenty of goals, either end, or I forgot we thrashed Rochester 5-0 in the Stafford Senior Cup. And lastly, but not leastly, our final piece of correspondence this week comes from Adrian Rowland, who says, rained off. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussion and chatter and all that kind of thing on the Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick. The strongest adhesives you can buy.